grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Philip Melanchthon was Luther's right-hand man in Wittenberg. He'd been something of a child prodigy, so he was a generation younger than Luther. And sometimes in the history of the Reformation, it's hard separating what is Luther and what is Melanchthon. Although it's never hard separating them in words. It's not that Melanchthon's words are wrong or even lacking in the spirit. They're just not Luther. In his funeral oration for Luther, Melanchthon admits something like this, reflecting on Luther's reputation for sharp polemics and lots of people's hopes that with Luther gone, everything could go back to the way it had been. Melanchthon summarizes, if the age had not been so sick, it would not have needed such a doctor. I shouldn't be amazed at this by now, but I always am. How much Lutherans, even very good Lutherans, run away from Luther himself. It's too strong. It's too salty. And I'm not saying that the man was infallible. We'll leave that to the Romans and their Pope. But even when Luther might be wrong, he's wrong in helpful ways. And today's gospel is one of those places that Lutherans, especially of our age, have run away from Luther himself. My teacher in these regards, someone I would not lightly go against, reduces Luther's comments on salt and light to a footnote. He comments, to find a contrast between negative salt and positive light seems very unlikely in view of the strong parallelism. And with that, my teacher waves away the great man. For some reason, this time I went back and actually read Luther himself. And the first thing that you have to understand is the word of God's promise here. It goes back to the very first line of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Christ has given you the kingdom. It's yours. You have been blessed. And so that also happens here. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. These things need not be questioned. They're pronouncements and the promise of Christ himself. You can depend upon the word of God. Luther remarks with his single word, I can be more defiant and boastful than they with all of their power, swords, and guns. But since he acknowledges my right to the title, testifies to it through his word, all the angels in heaven, even the sun and moon together with all the creatures, must say yes and stand by us in opposition to the world and the devil. Even if this were not so, we would still have enough in this single word. And the fact that he names and baptizes us in this way. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The kingdom is yours. Christ has given the kingdom and those titles to you freely by his grace. And all you can do is deny them and embrace the devil, the world, and your own corrupting flesh. And I think this is where my wise teacher dismissed Luther way too fast. And maybe has done so from a place of a deep corruption of our age. The parallelism is something that you find all the time in the Psalms. It's a defining trait of Hebrew thought, something that Jesus grew up with. In fact, if you take it like we normally do, those psalms are from Jesus himself. You state one thing, you are the salt of the earth. And then you bring a second thing next to it in exactly the same way. You are the light of the world. And the two statements are meant to illumine each other. If you took my challenge last week to read the rest of the Sermon on the Mount at least once, you might have noticed some development of salt and light. And unlike my teacher's dismissal of the contrast, Luther's contrast seems more right. The command that if you already committed murder, if you have called your brother a fool, and you won't get out until you pay it all back, the very last penny, is quite salty. The contrast with, say, the Father knows what you need before you ask, so ask. Or the easy way that forgiveness is granted. You forgive. Your heavenly Father has forgiven you. It's very white. The salty demands to give to the needy. And don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. Contrasted with that uncreated light of, do not be anxious, you of little faith. Or even the stinging, do not judge, and that's basically a human pastime. And then the garden keeper's reflection that by their fruits you shall know them. Part of my teacher's problem is his assumption of negative to the stinging salt and positive to the light. And that might give us an insight to our age. A little more on that shortly. But in Luther himself, there is no negative or positive designation. Nor would I say in Jesus' elaboration. If the salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? The answer being not much. Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them. So this is Luther on the salt. This salting process is easy to understand. One must get up and say, everything that is born and lives on earth is useless, rotten, and corrupt before God. Its wisdom and its sanctity are worthless. Indeed, blind and damned. The world can know and punish outwardly gross sins, like adultery and murder itself, but the things that it regards as most precious and its highest assets, piety, holiness, the service of God, these the Holy Spirit needs to solve. This salting. The reminder that even what we might think of as good before God is nothing. That salting is not negative. Because the law of God is good and wise. The salting of the wound hurts, but the salting of the flesh preserves it. It's by God's salting that not a jot or a tittle will disappear. It's by God's salting that we know our poverty of spirit. The kingdom is given to us by grace when we know that poverty of spirit. But this is the corruption of our age. We won't hear it. The salt's bite is too much. Instead of being salty, we're told to be winsome. Now, Luther also happens to comment on his day. Some wiseacres now maintain that it is enough for a preacher to simply preach the gospel and not to touch on anything that causes unrest and discord. And he would continue that it's that state of putrescence that is the worst. In that place, where the salt has been neglected, there you find the swarm of factions and sects, each insisting upon their own way. There our tickly ears find exactly what we want to hear. There we find the meat that we want to eat and like and take in, even though it's rotting poison. There we lose courage because applying salt is sticking your neck out. For somebody to chop it off. And there we distract ourselves with all kinds of meaningless things to cover the smell of the rot. And there, when the lack of salting is very advanced, we might think that we have kept everything required because nobody has told us. We might think that our righteousness exceeds even that of the Pharisees. And we might call out in surprise, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. And the reply is nothing but salt. Do you not know that I commanded you to salt? That I warned you earnestly to do so? should you not have feared my word? Of what use is the salt that has lost its saltiness? You are the salt of the earth. Just living the Christian life will sting many who come into contact with it. But you are also the light of the world. Having salted everything that's corrupt, knowing that we have no righteousness of our own, we also know that the righteousness of God has come to us apart from the law. It's come to us by faith. And God has placed this light within you. God has lit you with His Holy Spirit, and He has placed you, He has placed your life on a lampstand. Your faith is what God has done and lightens the entire house. And collectively, this is how God lightens the world. So let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Because you are the salt. And you are the light. And this light is how God has chosen to reclaim a fallen world. Through this proclamation of what His Son has done for us. Amen.